Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Today's Tuesday, January the 28th, 2025. Stu Webb here at StuWebb.com. And I have the honor to have a guest on, Paul Register. He's been on with me before, regarding the Native American Indians. Now, with that said, I'm just going to let Paul run with it. Paul, how are you this evening?
Good, Stu. I appreciate the time you're having me on the show and just allowing me to kind of elaborate on what all I've seen since I've been kind of poking into South Dakota.
Well, get into it, buddy. That's where I met you, was South Dakota.
Yeah.
we had a few meetings together and a couple barbecues together.
Oh, absolutely. And just to, so that the listeners know, if you ever get a chance, let Stu cook for you. You won't go home hungry by any means, but just with the latest and what I've started to see is just that there have been I operate well under the radar just here in South Dakota because it's something kind of where I basically have been using prayer to help me navigate through this stuff that I've seen in South Dakota. And it started years ago with when I started hearing about the abuse of these children at a youth corrections facility, and it was easily a dozen kids and their parents and former staff all came forward and were all telling me about the long-standing abuse that had taken place here, and the location itself had been previously shut down by the state, but it was state financed at the time it was, and so it closes for a short time and then it reopens under a privatized version called the Aurora Plains Academy, and their headquarters is in Wisconsin, and their group called Clinicare. And what I started to see with all these kids is that there was just countless like reports of abuse, and over and over, like these abuse cases were not not dealt with, but all the reports would end up going to the state's attorney at the time. His name was John Steele, and all the reports would end up in with him, and everything would just get swept under from there. And when the first parent I ever spoke with, we were talking about her son's case, because it all started when I saw the picture of this young boy whose name was Ender Murray. And the picture that I saw of Ender, he was a very small child for his age. I believe he was 12 at the time, but in this picture he looked like 9 or 10. He was just a dinky little guy, but you look at the picture of Ender and he's got this massive black eye that just and what had happened is that he was put into a hold and basically had his face pounded into the pavement, and they ended up bringing charges against the staff. His name was Emmanuel Uyeda, and all the accounts of the abuse with this kid.
Now wait a minute. Hey, Paul, explain to the audience. Let me explain to him for a moment. Paul Register is a whistleblower about Indian tribe abuse.
Yep.
Indian tribe abuse. South Dakota in particular. North Dakota, other states. And I'm going to be having a guest on. His name is Leonard Peltier. They made a movie about him, Billy Jack. And it was all a screwed up meeting. I met him in federal prison, folks, in Denver, Colorado, when I was being detained. He was being sent to the hole from Illinois over. And Super Spook Otis Johnson, 007 Otis Johnson on my website, he was in jail. Running Casey's continued operation after Bush murdered Casey. And this is in 1992 at the Inglewood facility. They transferred Billy Jack, also known as Leonard Peltier, into a temporary holding facility where they moved him from Supermax. It was maximum security in Illinois. And they moved him over to Supermax. They were transferring him to Supermax in Colorado Springs. It's three stories below ground. Hits the hole. They try to drive you crazy. A rail car brings your toilet up, and not your toilet, but your place of shower. And a rail car brings your food up three times a day, and you go out there and get your food and go back in. And the only communications you have is a computer screen where they allow you to talk to somebody on the outside. You have no communications. You have no internet. You have nothing. They do it to try to break people's minds, is what Otis told him. Otis Johnson's roommate, Richard, busted John Gotti at Ross Perot later. Used some of that information that targeted my ex-father-in-law, and he had to pay an $80 million fine in 1997. And Larry Mizell and Norman Brownstein paid $10 million each, and Frederico Pena, the mayor of Denver, that voted for the Denver airport, and took a bribe from Phil Wynn, which I got him convicted, and fined Silver, the one that locked me up, the judge, head judge, illegally for 10.5 months. And then Richard Mates, the judge, dismissed the charges with prejudice, which means I didn't have a felony. Making terroristic death threats to Jewish families in Denver, my ex-father-in-law's. Because they found out I exposed Silverado HUD, the Denver airport, the Keating 5, they dubbed it, but it was the MDC 200. Now, I'm in jail with these two spooks in protective custody, both of them, testifying against certain parties. I meet Billy Jack, Leonard Peltier, through Otis. He says, hey, Stu, because I'd go up to cell, him and Richard's cell every day. They want to talk to me every day in private. They dump so much information on me. My God. And it all turned out to be true. Here was the deal. They're saying, hey, remember the movie Billy Jack? I said, yeah, I saw it. He says, Indian, supposedly killed a couple federal agents on this. Oh, yeah, I remember seeing the movie. He says, that's him over there. That's Peltier, Leonard Peltier. Go introduce yourself to him. I said, what? He says, talk to him, because he's being shipped to the whole Supermax. They're trying to break his mind. I said, okay. So I did. And I opened up who I was, whistleblower and all the other shit. And I told him, I said, you know, somebody in this jail cell likes you, a couple people. They're under protective custody. They're federal agents under protective custody. They told me to talk to you and get your true story. He told me the truth. They stole Chevron, Daddy Bush's oil company, was stealing oil off the Indian reservation in North Dakota where he lived. And they had federal agents, two FBI agents, had to go out to read the reservation where they would pump the oil up. They had a meter. Chevron. So Daddy Bush agrees these two FBI agents to turn the meter back. Peltier, Leonard Peltier, found out about it. They were videotaping him and shit and going, oh my God. He told me all about it. So they didn't know what to do. So they went to South Dakota or someplace, another state, and reported it to the U.S. attorney and the FBI, which did something about it. Said, well, if this is true, this is a federal crime. They're turning the meter back, these two FBI agents. So they were depriving the Indians of 80% of their revenue. Millions of dollars that they split up between themselves. Indian reservations have that right to do that. Revenue from their oil. Chevron, Daddy Bush's company, stealing the money. Stealing the oil. And federal agents are turning the friggin' meter back illegally. Committing crimes, high crimes. They should be executed. Or not executed, but charged with it. Still today. Now, they go to another jurisdiction and they get an agreement with the U.S. attorney and the FBI agents that they're going to go in there and investigate it. So they show up on the day they show up on whatever day it was, the first of the month, 10th of the month, or whatever it was. about the same time. And the two good FBI agents from another jurisdiction are over there, and they're videotaping them taking the meter off and resetting the meter to deprive the Indians of 80% of their revenue off the oil, stealing oil. They probably were being greased by Daddy Bush. They had to be doing that crime. The two good FBI agents see this, videotape the evidence, and they still got it in the archives the government has, and they go over there and they go to bust these guys and arrest them. And the two bad agents that were setting back the meter shoot and kill the two good agents. Billy Jack gets blamed. Leonard Peltier. I come across a gal with a paper. Wants to do an interview with me. She was Sparta Indian. She was in Idaho. Or not Idaho, but Utah. Southern part of Utah, within about 150 miles from Las Vegas, or 100 miles, or whatever it was. She wants to interview me. She supported me that where Ted Gunderson, the FBI stooge, Alex Jones, and the other stooges were trying to set me up. She testified in court to what he did to me. Long story. I told her that I met Peltier. She wanted to interview him, so she got an interview out of jail with him. The former Attorney General of the United States underneath Kennedy, President Kennedy, he runs AIA something org. Trying to think of his name. God almighty, I'm having a brain fart here. He has an organization that represents people. She took it to him, the reporter, and he ran with it. And he's been his attorney ever since. Peltier spent 50 years in jail for a crime he didn't commit. That was my point. Now, these Indian reservations, Paul, I guarantee you, in the next few months, there's going to be hell to pay for stealing from the Indians, and there's going to be hell to pay for those government officials that have been involved with it.
Yeah, because what you're kind of talking about also plays into the abuse at this facility, because a lot of the reason that the kids, like a lot of Native American kids, would be placed at this facility simply for the financial benefit of it. And so they basically have gone through the last 20 plus years where the state is removing Native American kids from their homes. And it's funny you mention Daddy Bush, because this whole thing, according to reports by a North Dakota attorney by the name of Daniel Sheehan, he says that it was George W. Bush, who was in alignment with former South Dakota governor, the late Bill Janklow.
You mean George Jr.?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, go ahead.
Yep, and they were thick as thieves, and he's who convinced Bill Janklow, letting him know, in Daniel Sheehan's words, you have a bonanza on your hands with these Native American kids, because basically with the algorithm that was created in Texas, these Native American kids would do this testing, and once they were removed from their homes, through the testing, they were able to be classified, because it was all culturally biased testing. They were able to classify 95% of these Native American kids as disabled, so they've been able to make more money than average on just having Native American kids instead of like the Caucasian population.
Now, Paul, can I add something here? Go ahead.
Oh, and so, yeah, the first year that they were taking these Native American kids, I believe he said it was 741 kids to the tune of $79,000 a piece. And so you're looking at, like,
the government's funding this. The government's funding this. Is it U.S. government or state government?
this is state government. This is the state of South Dakota, but it was designed by Texas, so I imagine it's probably being done all over the country.
Now, Paul, I came across you through other people without mentioning names.
Mm-hmm.
You're solid as a rock. I've met with you several times. You've been in my home several times when I was up there living in South Dakota a couple mm-hmm. years ago. Okay. We had quite a few meetings, and we had meetings with other people, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. They showed up over things that were going on. Now, you're solid as a rock. I've checked you out from Indiana. I've had two CIA buddies check you out, an FBI buddy check you out, and say you're solid as a rock.
Try to be.
You're solid. You're solid. You're a whistleblower. I classify you as a federal whistleblower. Maybe you haven't had that classification yet. The only reason I have it is because of a letter that's on my website, the top of my website, from the U.S. Congress.
Yeah.
That gave me the federal whistleblower. Now, Sybil Edmonds, who's 911 whistleblower, she overheard communications between the Israelis, I think it was, or whatever, over 911. Now, she has John Coe up there that was locked up in prison with me in Springfield, Missouri, that was exposing Gunther Rusbacher, who was my friend, who reached out to me over Tower 66 Limited Partnership in Denver, Colorado, the Denver Airport, where they were upping it $1 million every year and all the other. He shipped all kinds of stuff, fighter jets, Apache helicopters, M1 tanks, plutonium from Rocky Flats. He did that for the Bushes. He was ordered to do it. If you go up on my website and look at Jimmy Carter, he was the 911 he was the pilot that flew, Bush flew to France, paid Bonnie Sardar, the Iranian president, $70 million from Valley Bank in Denver to keep the hostages until after the election so they can win the election. And then he had an admiral crash a plane and a helicopter in a desert storm right face to face. Boom. Hostage rescue by Jimmy Carter. The admiral had mutinied because a friend of my younger brother's grew up with him. I'm sorry, folks. I'm having a cigarette in my car and recording. Now, he was aboard that ship. He was a Marine like I was. He was a few years younger than me. My younger brother's age, about 4 or 5 years younger than me. He told me the whole story. They had to bring the ship back from the Gulf because mutiny aboard the ship when they realized the admiral that was running the ship collided the fucking airplane and the helicopter. Now that's up there on my website. I think it was January the 2nd I posted or something, and you click on it and say, Jimmy Carter, October surprise. That's the kind of things that go on in America. But here, I'm leading someplace with this. I'm having a brain fart. But Paul, what went on in America with the Bushes, with the Clintons, with the Obamas, with Biden? Is that?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm telling you what. I would like to see all those people in the same room with me. You know what would happen, Paul? They would arrest me for beating them up.
Yeah, with a lot of the stuff that I just encountered, so much of what, like the. Like even now, it's just ever since Biden went back into office, because you would see a lot of missing persons alerts in South Dakota. But as soon as Biden went back in, it just went through the roof. We started seeing all kinds of activity where missing persons cases were taking place all the time, especially like focused out in the poorest reservations, which would be out on the Pine Ridge Reservation and Rosebuds Reservations. And you like a lot of people that don't do this wouldn't have knowledge of, as we've talked about, the significance of the Heartland Expressway, the three-tiered, what they refer to as the trade route that runs from Mexico straight up through to Canada. You have the Port de Plains, which goes from Nuevo Laredo, Mexico, up by Monterey, comes across in Laredo, goes all the way up to Lyman, Colorado, and then it switches over to the Heartland Expressway, which goes from Lyman up through to north of Rapid City, and then the last leg of it is from basically Rapid City all the way up to Williston, North Dakota, and then once it reaches Williston, it makes a 90-degree turn and goes straight up against the Fort Peck Reservation in Montana, and the last portion of the Theodore Roosevelt Expressway goes from Fort Peck and crosses over at the Port of Raymond entry point into Canada.
Okay, now Paul.
Yeah.
A lot of people think this whole thing runs from South America, which it does, and it's coming up through Panama, and the Garien Gap, or whatever it is, Bering Gap, in Panama, they're almost finished with the highway. This highway from South America all the way hell to the North America, north of Canada, highway runs. Happens to run through Kansas City. But I-35, I-29, all the way from Texas, all the way up. Okay. Now, what you're talking about is where it breaks off. You could take this highway and you could take that highway. And what you're describing is, and I know you're telling the truth. I know you're telling the truth. Because I've looked at this. What you're saying about those other highways that go through Dakota, etc., up to Canada. Go ahead. It's all true. It's not just one highway that the government or the media tries to describe it as. Going through Kansas City, up to Omaha, on up. No. It, once it hits the U.S. on the southern hemisphere, it splits, folks. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you go and you look at it, just go look at Lyman, Colorado on a map, and that's where it converts from the Port de Plains Expressway to the Heartland Expressway. And if you look at Lyman, Colorado, it just spiderwebs into like six different directions just in that one town. And so any kind of trafficking efforts at that moment can shoot any direction throughout the United States. And so once you're done there, and I made the point to drive the Heartland Expressway part of the corridor last year, and that would have been from Rapid down through Scotts Bluff, and then you go to Brush, Colorado, then down to Lyman, and that was the most desolate, just eerily, and it didn't even feel like America. It was that desolate. Throughout that entire trip, there is nothing to be seen at any point, with the exception of Scotts Bluff, Nebraska. You have a little bit there, but otherwise there's nothing impeding anyone along the way to basically do whatever they need to do. You didn't see any presence of law enforcement the entire trip. It's just feels like it's one big free-for-all. And if you go and you look at the website about the Heartland Expressway, you go heartlandexpressway.com, you can see that the plan is to start forward with expansion of this, to turn it into like dual highways. And so it's like, so the plan is there, and it's all mapped out, and it's been that way for quite some time. And all throughout that way, it's like you can traffic anything straight up, and chances are you're not going to be bothered.
No, you can fill a van or a bus with kids.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I'm telling you what, I've seen so much crap in the past 6 months. I want to explode over it, Paul. Trafficking the kids. Oh, this one guy. What's his name? I'm having brain fart. I'm hungry. We're doing a show late this evening. To me, it's late. But his name is, oh, God. His sister is involved in trafficking in children and body parts in the UK. He's involved in California in body parts and trafficking the kids. And I'm doing a whole thing on him. I'm going to have it up on my website tomorrow sometime, folks. So, you'll be listening to this broadcast this evening after we get through with it, because I'm going to post it. It's that important. Because of what's going on. And I'm going, hey, folks, you listen to broadcasts. You see something important. You hear something important. Go to www.45office.com or office45.com, Trump's site, where you can send him an email. Text him. Do it. Do it. Text him this email. I'm going to be texting this radio show because we got to break the problem in America, don't we, Paul?
Yeah, absolutely. And to follow up, it's like you were the one that told me about 45office.com a few days ago. And so I went and checked it out, and that's absolutely what it is. And so I went ahead and sent a message on my own after you had told me about it. So
it was set up by Devin Nunes. I give him credit. The guy's great, former congressman, senator, whatever he was, California. Devin Nunes, he resigned from Congress and ran Trump's, what's they call it, his website, where people can post. Devin Nunes, I have the highest respect for, Congressman Senator Devin Nunes. I have high respect for him. He set up that website. Go ahead.
Yeah, 45office.com.
Oh, yeah, Paul.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, report.
Just with everything that I encountered with that, it's like, you know, I just know that with where things are at with America, it's obvious that things are changing, and things are finally changing for the positive. And so it's just through the faith that we've been, that adheres to us, where it's like, okay, we have to call on the Almighty's wisdom to be able to say, you know what, this is what our country needs, this is what the world needs, this is what the leader is showing us, so it's up to us. We have to give him all the tools that we have to be able to like turn this thing on its head. And so
explain to the audience your faith.
Basically, with me, this whole thing began in 2016, and a whole lot of occurrences took place where I knew things weren't right, and I just had to kind of keep and tell myself, it's like, okay, ultimately it led me to a
you kept seeing all this abuse from these kids, yeah. In these, you work in the hospital business, should we say, right?
I worked at a state-run, basically a institution for the developmentally disabled. I was working as a state employee, and so as all this was taking on, it's like there was a lot of stuff that we couldn't explain. We had multiple staff that were getting, like, in 1-2 month time period, we had it was 5 staff out of 55 daytime and evening staff that had suffered concussions in 2 months. And if you extrapolate that out, that essentially is like taking 2 full NFL teams and sidelining them for the week if they all had concussions. So all this stuff is going on. And so ultimately, it prompted me to kind of ask if I'm to do something. So I prayed about it. And the day that I prayed about it, I was actually running the audio at my church. And the guy running the PowerPoint next to me, I put this prayer out. I'm like, all right. And it was this simple. It's like, all right, if you want me to do something, you're going to have to show me. And next thing I know, the guy sitting next to me clicks the mouse, and all of a sudden it pops up this screen. And the screen only, it was very simple. It said, we have a responsibility to strengthen the weak. And I'm just, no plain way to put it, I was just like, you got to be kidding me. And so then finally that's what prompted me to kind of go down this road. And there were a few times where it was kind of perilous, and I did have I actually had the state of South Dakota kind of poking into whether or not I was going to be a problem. And ultimately I was able to kind of sniff out their efforts. And when the time where I was called by a very significant state official in law enforcement, he contacted me, and all I did was I played as dumb as could be, and that way he didn't perceive me as threatening at all, and I was able to kind of maintain who I was and stay off anybody's radar and continue doing. What this has led me to is last year I ran a meeting for families who cannot get answers for how their loved ones have fallen into four categories of missing, murdered, wrongful death, or what I refer to as South Dakota suicides, which are suicides in name only.
This is strictly on the Indian reservations you've looked into, correct?
Well, this is across South Dakota. This isn't just Native Americans. This is Caucasians. This is Blacks. There was no part of me that ever felt like the Lord wanted me to discriminate or focus on one demographic or one race or anything like that. It was just like, okay. And so suddenly I learned that it's all all races, all ages, and just different families that time and time again could not get answers. And so it was during this where I put together a meeting and had several of the families show up. I had one family whose son was murdered in 2022. Along the Lake Francis case in southern South Dakota, and they were unable to get answers, and they've gotten nowhere with law enforcement, they've gotten nowhere with PI, but the one person that they know that they can hold on to as true in their efforts is that they see me as that person. And so ultimately these families are like, you know, this guy continues to go forward, and he continues to help not just our families, but my goal is to reach out to some form of public entity in the media outside of South Dakota where they can't do anything about it, and get to the point where I can give all these families stories at once, so that when the time comes and these stories are told, it's not just the Caucasian families that I have. It's just not the Native Americans or the Black families. It's every one of them that the state has turned its back on. And so I just go forward and try to help all these families. And I'm waiting for the Lord to present that opportunity, because I know it's going to be this opportunity where it's like, you know what? They have been shutting out cases for decades, and I have substantial proof on a lot of these cases that in some cases the state has actually closed the case, and I've been able to obtain proof that their version of the truth, it doesn't exist.
Okay, now Paul, you believe in Jesus Christ, Almighty
Amen.
God, I know
yeah.
that. We prayed together.
Yep.
We prayed together many times. You were at my house several times. A couple videos of you were up on the breaking bar because I got the computer to work. Now, folks, I'm hoping to start doing videos soon. That isn't the point I'm making. Jesus Christ is God Almighty, in my opinion. Virgin Mary. She bore Jesus Christ. She bore him. Jesus Christ was God Almighty in human form. That's my belief. Nobody can ever change that. I've seen Baphomet to go to the demon in my bedroom. In the name of Jesus Christ, Almighty God, I command you out of here now, Satan. And bam! The front door was blown off. My ex-wife, witch doctor, I was married to. Okay? I married the Council of 13. Now the Council of 12. Leonard Millman. If you look at my website this past week, I've been rejuvenating stories intentionally. California Water Supply, Larry Mizell, the one that they inhabited. Otis, Super Spook Otis Johnson, calls me up 2004 and said, your father-in-law is dead. I said, oh, my God. I said, that's going to take pain off me and relief. He said, no, Stu. Whatever lived in your ex-father-in-law lived for thousands of years. He was one of the aliens, possessed people. He says, now it's moved to Larry Mizell, and Mizell hates your ass and Brownstein. Hates your ass for all the exposure you did on Silverado on them. Okay. He says, he will never leave you alone. Larry Mizell. They own BlackRock, Blackstone. Two-thirds of the corporations of the world they own the stock in. Two-thirds of the corporations. It's that big. Punch in Larry Fink. Artie goes all over the place. All over the place. Larry Fink, BlackRock, Blackstone. It was Silverado drug money. Silverado drug money. From Iran-Contra involved the Clintons and the Bushes and Ollie North and everybody. Al Martin, my friend. That money can be confiscated. $1 drug money invested in real estate through Pete Peterson that Milman did. Pete Peterson, Council of Foreign Relations. He invested in him, and Milman would finance anybody to do anything for him. They did that. $1 drug money in the corporation, the government, U.S. government, can confiscate the money. That means BlackRock, Blackstone, the U.S. government can confiscate it, and it owns two-thirds of the stock of companies worldwide. That's serious money. Trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars can be confiscated by Donald Trump through an executive order to take it over. The Justice Department, the U.S. Attorney, Pam Bondi, and others, and Kash Patel, the FBI director, could order this to be done. Take the money over. It solves the national debt. It confiscates it. It puts those punks in jail. That's just a brain fart I had, okay? Go ahead, Paul. You there, Paul?
Yep. Yeah, it's just basically all I know is that with a lot of the stuff that you see, there's a lot of cases that I have significant amount of evidence, but the best part is when I got a lot of these families together, they have so much evidence in their own cases. The one thing that I've indicated is that, like, when it comes to these helping these families, it's like I can be the first one through because I have so many like cases to pull from as far as evidence and links between the entities that are causing all this corruption to take place. But when it comes to the details, the vast amount of evidence, then I would call on these families to be the ones to present their evidence. In some cases, we've had like autopsies done by the same entities, and
it keeps coming down to the same people. The same people, the criminals, are the ones causing the problems, the autopsies and all the other stuff, right? The cover up.
Yeah. Because, I mean, they're able to basically go out. They go out of state, the state of South Dakota. They go out of the state, and they start to look at people with we'll just say problematic pasts. It's like you can go and Google search these people, and you can find all kinds of wrongdoings by these people. But these are the ones that the state of South Dakota goes in search of, and they go recruiting. And so when they go and they find people with checkered pasts, then they bring them into South Dakota, and that's how they basically kind of align their troops. And so when they need people to just, all they want are people to say yes. And so once they get these people to say yes, then the benefit to them is that they get a high-paying job and they get the protection of the state. They can abuse the kids all they want, but the benefit is that the state will come in and make all the allegations go away, because the state of South Dakota, they don't have anybody that's doing that is not authentic in their efforts to audit the state properly. They don't have anybody that's auditing any form of the justice system properly. So it is an absolute bought-off free-for-all here in South Dakota. So if that sounds like something your listeners would be interested in, then yeah, it's ridiculous, because all you need to be is immoral to make money here.
No. You believe in Jesus Christ, correct?
Pardon?
You believe in Christ, Jesus Christ?
Absolutely. Yeah,
like I do. We prayed together before many times. Let's go to another step. President Donald Trump, I respect highly who he's done. Firing all the attorney generals, IGs, not attorney generals, IGs, attorney generals, Fauci. Posted on my website about Fauci from Judicial Watch. He made the virus that killed 68 million fucking people. How come he isn't indicted? Now, he lost his U.S. Marshal support by the stroke of a pen. By Mr. President Donald Trump. I respect Donald Trump totally. He's done a fantastic job. All these executive orders and everything else. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Okay? They stole the election from him. And there's a thing up on my website called Dominion Software, created by my ex-father-in-law, that stole the election from him. Now, a combination of that and all the other stuff last election. This Joe Biden is a criminal. His whole family is a criminal entity. Crime family. They're accepting money from... Oh, God. Just go to my site and look. This guy... Donald Trump is doing a fantastic job, in my opinion. Everything he's been doing, all these executive orders and working overtime, getting rid of the inspector generals of all these departments that have been covering up for him for years. I went through this with the inspector generals of various agencies as I'm reporting the crimes of my ex-father-in-law. I went through that. You can go up on my website, stuweb.com, and you see a letter from the Congress thanking me. That had made me official whistleblower. But Sybil Edmonds on whistleblowers.org, which John Cole's on, that I was in Springfield with, shipping fighter jets, Apache helicopters, stuff. So you never worked for the government, so therefore I don't post you on my website. I said, well, that's okay, Sybil. It doesn't make any difference to me. Only if you work for the government do you get posted up here. I said, that's fine. Now, I'm moving forward a little bit here. Donald Trump, what he has done in that first week, his huge, his masterpiece. He has appointed one fucking person to his cabinet. And I do not approve of. And that's the South Dakota governor. What's her name?
Kristi Noem.
Okay. What's her position?
She is the Secretary for Homeland Security.
Huh? Talk about her. Talk about her, because I'm going to make sure the President of the United States gets on Office45Office.com. He's going to get this recording tomorrow about her. I'm going to make direct contact. Tell us about Christy Noem.
Having been in South Dakota ever since the beginning of Christy Noem's, two terms as governor, one of the things that ultimately was kind of the red flag for me was, it was during her first State of the State address, and it was a quote that was put on our local media affiliate, KELO.com. And what it was is her basically saying that she was going to use her platform as governor every chance she got to promote the foster care system. Now, anybody that knows the foster care system knows deep down that Child Protective Services is nothing but an organized trafficking agency. And so basically,
that's what you've investigated.
Yep. And all the kids that have been taken from Native American families, it's like she was at one point in time banned from all 9 tribes in South Dakota of having her come on to their reservations. And so that essentially it's probably pretty close to somewhere around at least 20% of the state, if not more, that she was banned from in her own state. Now, there was a time, at one point in time, where she was claiming that there was need for protection on the southern border. She was abandoning South Dakota time and time again to go down and protect the southern border. But I thought it was very interesting because at one point in time, $1 million donation came in from a Tennessee billionaire who financed it wasn't the Tennessee troops. It was $1 million that went to the South Dakota National Guard for them to go down and guard the southern border. And so here she was accepting money to have our troops delegated to go down and protect the border. Now, the interesting thing about this Tennessee billionaire is that the way that he has made his billions is kind of ludicrous to me. He's made billions of dollars through auto salvage. And it's like, I don't understand. You would have to have a pretty fair market globally.
Is this auto salvage in South Dakota or nationwide?
This gentleman is out of Tennessee.
Oh my
and,
god!
And, yeah, and so that's where she received the donation to from this donor who was who basically fit the bill to have South Dakota National Guard watch the southern border. And it's like there was all kinds of stuff going on with Christy Noem and
did
Corey
she do this as a political scheme to make herself famous to say I'm guarding the border?
Yeah.
Trump has appointed all these people. Trump, I respect everybody he's appointed. I've talked to several of his appointees over the years. Now, let me tell you something. She's the one that he should have not appointed, my opinion, based on what you've told me and based on our past radio shows and talks we had at my house in South Dakota. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so basically when just reading an article right in front of me for citizensforethics.org, it talks about in the summer of 2021, South Dakota Governor Christy Noem deployed South Dakota National Guard to Texas's Mexico border with $1 million private donation from billionaire GOP donor and Tennessee resident Willis Johnson. The use of the private donation to activate the troops was widely covered in national media, not only as unprecedented, but also unethical and legally dubious. New records obtained by crew via Freedom of Information Act lawsuit provide a behind-the-scenes look at how Noem and South Dakota National Guard staff communicated about the donation amid to mounting controversy in the final days of June. So, I mean, and obviously, with everything that you see now going on in South Dakota, it's like it's obvious that like that just in the past 4 years, just how many different illegals have made their way up here. And one of the things that's like I said, it's really been unique is how the last 4 years we've seen this huge spike in trafficking. These are only through the South Dakota citizens that we know about. We don't know how many of these families that are brought over the border that suddenly their children are put into trafficking. And certainly in the next couple of years, unless something is done, it is bound to spike exponentially, because a lot of citizens don't put this into their mindset, but in 2026 there is going to be a global sports event taking place, not just in the United States, but for the first time in world history, where it will be three countries at once will all be the ones hosting the 2026 FIFA World Cup event, which is global soccer. So you will have 48 nations will be coming together in Canada, US, and Mexico to come and play in this global soccer tournament. And what better opportunity to traffic kids who under the shroud of a global soccer event.
I'm trying to think of the name. I'm a trafficker. His daughter, his sister traffics in the UK in body parts and sex and all kinds of shit. Field McConnell. Look him up, folks. He's a piece of shit. I'm getting ready to do a story on him. He's got trafficking in California of kids' body parts, and his sister runs to the UK for the government. For the fucking government. New World Order. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, and just basically just kind of as you start to see this, I mean, they've talked about how much more lucrative the human trafficking element is. And so, through what's going on with the Heartland Expressway and with basically it's open season here in South Dakota, and certainly I imagine the same is in the surrounding states, where basically it's all unregulated, and so a lot of these families that have been trying to get answers for their loved ones, the biggest reason why nobody is able to come in here and get anything done is because a lot of the agencies that the regional agencies that oversee South Dakota are paid off well enough through the money that's accumulated off the back of all these the intense Medicaid fraud that has been going on here. And so once all that is looked into, audited properly, they're going to see that so many donations that have gone to South Dakota never end up in the locations where they're supposed to. The largest reason why is because in South Dakota, there is a nonprofit for every 80 citizens. One nonprofit for every 80 citizens. That's how many nonprofits there are in South Dakota. The reason is because nonprofits in South Dakota are self-policing. So you can pump money into a nonprofit, and it can go, you can say money's been allocated to this other nonprofit. Now, all of a sudden, that you're not able to follow the money trail, because they're basically able to say, well, yeah, that money's accounted for, we're good, but nobody has authorization to look into it.
Now, Paul, what do you think about Donald Trump?
I don't think a person of his stature would risk all that he has time and time again unless the Lord was leading him. Right. Basically, with a lot of the stuff that you have seen, the decisions that he's made, the time, I mean, he's certainly a vastly wealthy man. And